amen. Please remain standing. Open your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Just following Daniel is the book of Hosea. Turn to the last chapter just before Joel. I'll be looking at chapter 14. And I'll be reading just one verse of Scripture. Verse number 4. Hosea 14, verse number 4, where God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. What a wonderful verse of Scripture that is. A nation to a nation who has gone away from God. And yet God is pleading and giving them conditions under which He would receive them and bless them and love them freely and not be angry with them anymore. I want to speak to that subject this morning, the subject of backsliding and how to recover. Father, speak to us now. Lord, our country has gone away from you. And in many ways, we resemble the nation of Israel of years ago when they had fallen by their iniquity. But Lord, you've given us words. You've given us the way to return. You've specified what our heart condition should be, and the way our lives should be lived in order to be acceptable in your sight and a blessed people. Help us today to understand. And Lord, if there's one here today who has strayed and wondered, I pray today that this would be the day that you would heal their backsliding. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are two kinds of backsliders. Some have never been really converted, and as someone said, they've never really slid forward. But a lot of times we have people who say they have been converted and have been born again, but as you look at their lives, you soon find out that they really have not become new creatures in Christ Jesus because they still are what they were. They're still comfortable living that life of sin and alienation from God. There are some who have never repented, like Judas Iscariot, like Ananias and Sapphira and Hymenaeus and Alexander and Philetus and Demas and Diotrephes. A lot of people who made professions of faith and were baptized like all the rest, and yet we find in them the betrayal of the Lord, we find untruthfulness, we find departing from the faith, find them loving this present world and taking to themselves the preeminence among the brethren and circulating malicious slanders and doing much damage to the church and the cause of Christ. Some appeared to be saved, but were they really? Matthew 7:14 says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few, F-E-W, few there be that find it." You would think that there would be many that would find it. But comparatively speaking, our Lord says, really, when it comes right down to it, when you separate all the wheat from the chaff, there's just a few that are really saved. Romans 8:9 tells us, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so we find that many who profess to know God really don't. And we conclude that many have taken unto themselves the name of Christianity, who have never really been born again of the Spirit. And these we need to treat differently from real backsliders. However, there are some who have been born of the incorruptible seed, but who have, yes, they have wavered. They have turned aside. Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus and sent word to them that they had left their first love. And he asked them to return. In Psalms 85, verses 5 through 8, we read, "Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Nothing will do backsliders more good than coming into contact with the Word of God. And for them, the Old Testament is as full of help as the New. The book of Jeremiah has some wonderful passages for wanderers. What we want to do is get backsliders to hear what the God of the whole earth is saying. Jeremiah 6:10, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Oftentimes we've made the statement from this pulpit, sin will keep you from the word of God, or the word of God will keep you from sin. You see. And so this is the condition of the backsliders. They have no delight whatever in the Word of God. They avoid it when they can. But we want to bring them back. We want to let God get their ear this morning and hear what the Lord says. In verses 14 through 17, God declared, "They have healed also the hurt of my people," slightly saying, "Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time when I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Reading from Jeremiah 6, chapter 6. "Also," he says, "I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." And so this was the condition of the Jews that had backslidden. They had turned away from the old paths, and that is the condition of backsliders. They've turned away from the Word of God, the Book of God. Did Adam and Eve not fail because of not hearkening to the Word of God? They didn't believe God's Word. They believed the tempter. And that's the way backsliders fall, by turning away from the Word of God and following the voice of evil, the voice of temptation, the voice of the world. Now listen to the record of God's pleading. In Jeremiah 2, we find God pleading with them as a father would plead with a son. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain?" Verse 9, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children would I plead." Verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You will notice, they left the Lord without any cause. They forsook Him. He said, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me?" Is God not the same today as when you came to Him at first? Has God changed? Men are apt to think that God has changed, but He has not. The fault lies with mankind. And so I would ask this morning, what iniquity is there in God that you have left Him? God says you've hewn out to yourself broken cisterns that hold no water. In other words, you have degraded yourselves and turned aside from the fountain of living water that God had supplied, and you have created your own religion, devoid of truth. And my dad used to have a saying when we would repeat something that we had heard or something that we just knew wasn't true and wasn't a factual account of the situation, and my dad would say, "Well, that just won't hold water." Anybody ever heard that proverb? "That just won't hold water." Well, that's what Jesus and the Word of God is saying here. He's saying you've all created your own religion, and it's devoid of truth. It will not hold water. It will not stand the test of time. It's like a cracked pot, a cracked cistern. When you need it most, it's going to come up dry and empty. The world cannot satisfy your new nature if you've been born again. No reservoir made by human minds and hands can satisfy the soul that has become partaker of the heavenly nature. Honor, wealth, the pleasures of this life will not satisfy those who have tasted the water of life. Earthly cisterns cannot quench the spiritual thirst of the soul. Never have, never will be able to. In verse 32, God asks another question. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? And yet my people have forgotten me days without number, God says. They've forgotten me days without number. I've got to believe that there are some young ladies here, maybe some older ladies here, who if they lost an earring, they would immediately set about looking for it. Don't you think so? I've had them to bring earrings to me, and I'd set them up here on the pulpit, or I would say, "Hey, did anybody lose an earring?" Somebody raised a hand. They were excited about getting that earring back. They'd call me on the phone, "I lost an earring." Or, "I lost the car key." "I've lost my Bible." And they'd want me to find it and save it for them. But you know, there's a lot of people, though they have turned away from the Lord, it does not bother them. They do not seek after Him that they might find Him. They would seek after a lost earring quicker than they would seek after God. I wonder how many, once in fellowship and in daily communion with the Lord, now think more of their attire and their ornaments than of their precious souls and their relationship with God. Love does not like to be forgotten. Mothers would have broken hearts if their children left them and never wrote a word or called them or texted them. But God pleads over backsliders as a parent would plead over a loved one who has gone astray. He tries to woo them back and He says, "What have I done that they have forsaken me?" Then secondly, you see God's response to those who have left Him. Jeremiah 2:19 declares, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forgotten the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts." You will never find a real backslider who has known the Lord, but will admit that it is an evil thing and bitter being away from God. Oh, may this verse bring you back if you've wandered into the far country today. Look at Lot in the Old Testament. Did he not find it an evil and bitter thing? While he was in Sodom, he was taken captive by the king of Elam and had to be rescued by his uncle Abram. He was 23 years in Sodom and never made a convert. Got along very well in the sight of the world. They would have told you that he was well known in all of Sodom. But he ruined his family. And what a pitiful sight it was to see that old backslider going through the streets of Sodom at midnight, trying to persuade his daughters and sons-in-law to leave Sodom because the judgment of God was going to fall in the form of fire and brimstone. But the Bible said he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law, and they refused to leave. They turned a deaf ear to him. And finally, when morning came, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, those two virgin daughters which he had offered to the Sodomites the night before. You take your wife and your two daughters, and you leave, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of this city." The angels took the hand of Lot and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters and brought them forth and set them without the city. And the angel said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee." And this is when the Lord rained Sodom upon Sodom and Gomorrah, that fire and brimstone from the Lord out of heaven. And then that's when Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Luke 17:32, Jesus himself used Lot's wife as an example and said, "Remember Lot's wife." You can become so attached to this world and the worldly pleasures and sinful activities. You can become so attached to it until spiritual things have no value to you. Did you know that? You have time for money, time for pleasure, but no time for God. You can be just perfectly comfortable in your sins. Ezekiel called them pillow prophets that cried, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace and the judgment of God was looming. I have never known a man and his wife to backslide without it proving utter ruin to their children. They will make a mockery of religion. They will deride their parents. God said, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee." Lot certainly found that to be true in his life. Did not David find it so? Hear him as he cries upon getting word of the death of his son. "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Absalom, my son, my son." All the stories I could tell this morning. I have heard so many say to me, "Pastor, I took my children into the world, and now I cannot get them out. oh, you may awaken to what you have done and return to the Lord. But yet there may be the bitter consequences of your transgression, like David. With a broken and a contrite heart before God, you may find forgiveness. But the consequences may follow you for the rest of your life. You may come back, but your children may not. Think about your own experiences, and you can find many such instances repeated time and time again. Many who started out serving God years ago and have forgotten Him. And where are their sons and daughters today? Show me the father and mother who have deserted the Lord and gone back to the beggarly elements of this world. And in the majority of cases, if not all cases, I will show you children who are on the high road to ruin. As we desire to be faithful, we must warn backsliders. It's a sign of love to warn of danger. We may be looked upon as enemies for a while, but the truest friends are those who lift up a voice of warning when there is danger. Israel had no truer friend than Moses. In Jeremiah, God gave His people a weeping prophet to bring them back to Him, but they cast off God and they cast out Jeremiah. They forgot the God who had brought them out of Egypt, who led them through the desert into the promised land. In their prosperity, they forgot the Lord and turned away. The Lord had told them what would happen in Deuteronomy 28, and see what did happen. The king who made light of the word of God, his name was Zedekiah. Zedekiah was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and his children were slain right before his eyes. And they put out the eyes then of Zedekiah after he had seen the death of his children. And they bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Read about it in 2 Kings 25. That's the way he reaped what he had sown. And surely it is an evil thing and bitter to backslide. But here the Lord calls you with a message of His Word. Jeremiah 8, verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to turn. And that is God's charge against them. If you were to look at verse 6, you would see, I hearkened and heard, and they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? And isn't that the case today? You pray for these who've gone astray. You visit with them. You counsel with them. But there is no family altar in their home. There is no daily Bible reading. There is no closet devotion. There is no shame over sin. There is no blushing. Things that years ago would have driven people into secrecy and into hiding, today they're out in broad open public magnifying and praising and rejoicing in their sin and in their iniquity. You know it's true. People have illegitimate children today and they pass them around like trophies, like toys to be played with. And can't wait to get pregnant again. They do not blush because of their abominations. They are not ashamed. They do not repent. God stoops to hear. His people are talking, but they're not saying the right thing. If there is a backslider who is anxious for pardon and restoration, you will find no words more tender than there are to be found in Jeremiah 3 and verse 12, where he says, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep my anger. I will not keep anger forever. And the prophet then explains how to return to God. Listen, he says this. Listen carefully. He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Did you hear that? Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you. Think of God coming to you and saying, I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. If you will acknowledge it, God says, I will forgive you. Right then and right there, God will restore you. God wants you to come back. In Jeremiah 3:23, the prophet says on behalf of God, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. You see, he even puts the words in the mouth of the backslider. He said, but only come, and if you will come, he will receive you graciously and love you freely. Back in Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we find the prophet saying, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. And that's when God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Just do that. Just turn. Turn. Turning from sin rings all through these passages. Now remember, if you've wondered that it was you who left God, and you've got to get out of the backslider's pit in the same way you got in, like the prodigal son, you know the way home. You know the way to the Father's house. You know the path that took you out of God's will. And you know the path back in to God's will. You will find the Master just where you left him. Just go to him. Go back to him. Acknowledge your sin. Ask him to take away all your iniquity and receive you. And you know what? He will. He will. Have you left and run away from God or his service? Have you forgotten him days without number? He's calling today. Come back. Come back. Acknowledge God in your life today. Make up your mind that you will not rest until God has restored unto you the joy of your salvation. In Revelation 2, 4, and 5, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Remember, repent, and return. Say it with me this morning. Remember, repent, and return. Tell me, is there some estrangement between you and Jesus this morning? Why is it so? What has he done that you have forgotten him days without number? I think of Peter, who after following the Lord denied Him at the trial. The Master might have turned to him and said, "Is it true, Peter, that you have forgotten me so soon? Peter, do you remember when your wife's mother lay sick of a fever and I rebuked the disease and it left her and she was healed? Do you not call to mind your astonishment at the draught of fishes so that you exclaimed, 'Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man'? Do you remember when in answer to your cry, 'Lord, save me or I perish,' I stretched out my hand and I saved you from drowning? Have you forgotten up on the Mount of Transfiguration? There you were with James and John. And I allowed you to see Moses and Elias come down and speak with me. And that's when you said, 'Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias.' Peter, if you've forgotten being with me at the supper table in and then in Gethsemane, is it true that you have forgotten me so soon?" The Lord could have scolded him with questions such as these, but He did nothing of the kind. All our Lord did was take one look. He just cast one look at Peter. And there was so much love in that look that it broke that disciple's heart, and he went out and wept bitterly. After Christ rose from the dead, see how tenderly again He dealt with that erring disciple. The angel at the sepulcher says to the women, "Go tell the disciples." And Peter. And Peter. The Lord did not forget Peter, though Peter had denied Him 3 times. And so He calls this kind and special message to be conveyed to that repentant disciple. No doubt He had seen Peter's tears, and Jesus was anxious to restore him. What a tender and loving Savior we have. If you are one of the wanderers, let the loving look of the Master win you back this morning, and let Him restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You don't need to continue to wonder, to live at a distance. Oh, I trust that God today will restore some backslider and make them a pillar in His church. We would never have had Psalm 32 if David had not been restored. He said in verse 1, "Blessed." Oh, he knew all about that. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Or that beautiful Psalm 51, which was written by the same restored backslider. "A broken and a contrite heart," he said, "O Lord, Thou wilt not despise." Nor would we have had that wonderful sermon on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people were converted, preached by Peter, another restored backslider. May God restore other backsliders today. and make them 1,000 times more used for His glory than they have ever been before. If you're truly saved today, if you've backslidden on God, all He's asking is that you confess it, that you own it. Yes, I did wrong. I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. But I'm willing to turn from this sin. I'm ashamed of it. I wish it had never happened. Lord, will you forgive me? I promise you, if you'll pray a prayer similar to that with a broken and a contrite heart, God will forgive, He will hear, He will restore, and you will be amazed at how good God is.